Now we see when Satan is cast to the earth, he persecutes the woman. And we have that in verses 13 and 14 here. In fact, all the way through 16. But let me read the first two verses, 13 and 14. When the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she's nourished for a time and times and half a time. Now, this is the last wave of anti-Semitism that'll roll over the world. And it's the worst, because Satan is cast down to the earth and he knows his time is short. And he hates this nation because Christ came from that nation according to the flesh. And this is the time of Jacob's trouble. And that's the reason I cannot rejoice, never been able to rejoice, in the present return of Israel back to that land. Some people seem to think they're going back for the millennium. They're not. They're going back for the great tribulation period, if they're going back for any purpose at all, according to the Word of God. Now, we're told here that there are two wings of an eagle given to her that she might fly into the wilderness. Now, there are those that see in this the airplane that's going to take them to their hiding place, and they always pick the rock-hewn city of Petra as being that place. Now, I don't know how an airplane would land in that place, but that's the problem of those that give that explanation. Now, will you notice, though, the two wings of a great eagle is not something that is unusual or peculiar to these people at all. That's reminiscent of the grace of God in delivering Israel in the past from Egypt. You remember God said to them in Exodus 19:4, "Ye have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." You see, they had not come out by their own effort or by their own ability. They came out because God brought them out. And eagle wings became a symbol to them. And here again, in the great tribulation, Israel cannot deliver themselves. And no one is interested in delivering them. But God will get them out on eagle's wings by His grace. I'd like to refer you to a book I have. The title of it is On Eagle's Wings. And you can see how this has worked in the past in the life of this nation. Now it says, into the wilderness under her place. Now it doesn't say the rock-hewn city of Petra. Could be. Don't misunderstand me. I just simply don't know where it is, and I'm disturbed when somebody else finds it before I do. And I don't know how in the world they found it. Now, it's been variously identified. Petra's not the only place. The wilderness of the peoples of the world, that it'll be another worldwide scattering of them. Well, Christ said, "Flee unto the mountains." We believe it to be a literal wilderness, possibly the same one in which Israel spent 40 years under Moses. And this time it will be 42 months, for that's the meaning of time, times, and half a time year. The important thing is not the place, but the fact that God will protect them by His grace. Now, where she's nourished, that reminds us that in the past God sustained them with manna from heaven and water from the rock, and He'll nourish them again in possibly the same way. Now in verses 15 and 16, and I'll read my translation here, "And the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon cast out of his mouth." Now, in view of the fact that the wilderness is literal, the water also could be literal. God had delivered Israel out of the water, both at the beginning of the wilderness march, the Red Sea, and then again at the end of the wilderness march, the Jordan River. However, the floods of water could be armies flowing like a river upon them. This figure of speech has been used by Isaiah. And I'll not turn to it, but it's in Isaiah the 8th chapter, verses 7 and 8. Now, in Ezekiel's picture of the last days, the king of the north is seen marching on Israel. How will he be stopped? No nation is there to stop him, but God is there, and he will destroy him with natural forces when he invades Palestine. Listen to Ezekiel 38:22. I will plead against him with pestilence, with blood. I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. That gives us an indication of what John is talking about here. Satan will use every means to destroy the people. Now, verse 17, the last verse in this chapter. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and he went away to make war with the rest of her seed that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. Now, the rest of her seed referred to the remnant who is God's witness in this period, the 144,000 who've been sealed. They are evidently witnessing throughout the world, and these keep the commandments of God, which places them back under the law, and this precludes the possibility of the witnesses being the church. Now, all anti-Semitism is Satan-inspired, and it will finally culminate in Satan making a supreme effort to destroy this nation. From the brickyards of Pharaoh's Egypt, Haman's gallows, Herod's cruel edict, through Hitler, to the world of the Great Tribulation, Satan has led the attack against these people because of the man-child, Jesus Christ.